Welcome back. I'm Anthony McCarthy, sitting in for Mark Steiner, and you're listening to The Mark Steiner Show on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Good morning. Mayor Stephanie Rawlins-Blake announced Friday that she would not be seeking another term as mayor of Baltimore. We're going to analyze what that means for her next 15 months in office and the mayoral election. A lot of things are shifting in the city of Baltimore. Also this morning, as it was announced earlier through press release, Pastor Jamal Bryant of the Empowerment Temple, many people saw him doing the uprising in the city of Baltimore and blocking traffic earlier in about a month and a half ago. He is announcing this morning that he is going to challenge Congressman Elijah Cummings for the 7th District seat in Congress. A lot of people interested in this issue all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, and others. We're going to talk about that with our guests. Call in with your comments at 410-319-8888. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. Comment on the Mark Steiner Show Facebook page or send an email to talk@steinershow.org. We want to hear from you on your thoughts on these latest political developments in the city of Baltimore. Joining me in the studio, Catalina Byrd. She is a media consultant and beloved political strategist. Great to see you, Catalina.
Good morning, Anthony.
It was great to be with you yesterday on Square Off. I think we gave a lot of people a lot to talk about.
That was great.
Dr. Lawrence Brown is right next to me here in the studio. He is a public health consultant and assistant professor of public health in the School of Community Health and Policy at Morgan State University. He tweets at BMoreDOC. Dr. Lawrence Brown, it's great to have you.
Good morning. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for being here for what I know is going to be a very interesting conversation. My mentor, very dear friend, Charles Robinson, is on the phone with us, political and business correspondent for Maryland Public Television. Charles, great to have you on board.
Man, what a great day to talk about politics. You know I love this stuff.
It is so amazing how things can change so quickly. We're going to begin with Catalina Byrd. Mayor Stephanie Rawlins-Blake announced on Friday what I think was a surprise to a lot of folks, but people who have been observing her and certainly seeing some polls and her unfavorables in the city, and even what people are talking about in the barbershops and beauty salons, grocery stores, churches, knew that she was politically going to have a difficult reelection. Well, she announced and put everything to rest on Friday, saying that she wanted to spend more time with her daughter and that she did not want every decision she made in the next 15 months to be, or not 15 months, but up until the April primary, to be challenged or questioned on the basis of politics. Catalina, give me your thoughts on the mayor not seeking reelection.
Well, I think that it's a little bit disingenuous to allude that it's about polls and things of that nature. Because of when Sheila had to step down, Stephanie had been the mayor for 8 years. That's the equivalent of two terms, which is usually when people in politics go on to their next step and their next level. She accomplished a great bit, and people haven't liked her, but they can't argue that she hasn't been effective. So I wasn't surprised, and I look forward to seeing what she's going to do next.
I think the only pushback I would give you is that politicians look at polls. You say it doesn't have anything to do with polls. I bet you it has a lot to do with polls and how she is viewed by the electorate here in the city of Baltimore. You may not think that polls are important, and they're just a snapshot of this moment. But in fact, politicians read polls all the time. Charles Robinson, give me your thoughts. The mayor said, I don't want to have all of my decisions questioned around politics. I want to be mayor. The city needs me. Give me your thoughts.
First and foremost, you know, I have been writing about this mayor for a long time, as well as some of those who are challenging her. But there were some things that were kind of evident that I think that I said were bigger of a small things that were emblematic of bigger problems. Think about when she lost her major fundraiser. Then following that, and not to mention the riots and her handling of that, there was an incident that happened at Mondawmin Shopping Center where a woman spilled water on the mayor. And let me just say, that was emblematic of a bigger problem because she was no longer connecting with the masses, as I wrote. Later on, as you move further along, this whole idea of, if I just get rid of the police chief, maybe things will change, and they didn't. And those kind of things seem to sum up of this kind of, she was going to have not only a tough election, she needed as many people to get in this race in order to give her a fighting chance, but even that was not going to be a sure thing.
Well, it's interesting to me that people, on the day of Freddie Gray's funeral, now this is anecdotal, of course, but on the day of Freddie Gray's funeral, the mayor received some polite applause when she was announced at the funeral. Sheila Dixon received thunderous welcome when she was announced, and a lot of people, my phone started to vibrate. I had it on vibrate like crazy, as people said, this really speaks to the level of how the citizens of Baltimore are viewing this mayor, and that their response to Sheila Dixon may have meant they want some change. Give me your thoughts, Dr. Brown.
Well, you know, I think that I agree with everything Mr. Robertson just said, first of all. I think his analysis is correct. I think when the water was thrown on her, yeah. I think that really was indicative. And I think she may have said to herself, do I need to put up with this? No, I don't. You know, no, I don't. And I think the job must be incredibly tough. I never saw her smile a lot. I never saw her have a lot of joy in the work. And maybe that's not her personality. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I've heard other mayors of Baltimore, or I've read them say that. It's a tough job. So it makes me wonder if she was looking for a way to liberate herself in a sense during these last months, and maybe to go rogue a little bit in terms of maybe shifting the dynamics of the way that Baltimore City has been run. I'm looking to see if she's trying to do something of that nature, maybe if not to redeem her legacy, then to sort of salve her conscience.
Give us a call if you want to join this conversation. What do you think about the mayor's decision? What do you think is behind it? And how do you think the next 15 months will be for the mayor? 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Catalina, I think that Dr. Brown just said something very interesting. I'm not sure if people have a real appreciation for how tough this job is.
They don't. And, you know, and She didn't smile necessarily, because you get held to a different standard when you are a woman in an executive position. It's not that she doesn't smile in public or she's not personable. It's a certain kind of way that you're trained, that you're told to be taken seriously and to look like an effective leader. There's things that you don't do. You know, my dad's always telling me, don't laugh too much when you're on the radio, even though you and Anthony are friends. Anthony can laugh, but I can't, because it's perceived differently.
You are really speaking some truth. And certainly we know, Stephanie said to me, the mayor said to me one day when we had dinner, she said, Anthony, why do people keep saying I'm not friendly? I don't seem like I enjoy this job. She said, I've actually gone to events. This is what she said to me. And I've walked in the door. I've been smiling. I've shaken hands. I have hugged people, and I'll leave. And people will post on social media, the mayor is very cold.
Right.
She said she just didn't get it. She did not get
it. I've seen her dance with children in schools. I mean, she doesn't get it. And it's hurtful, because, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day, we are all from Baltimore. We love this city. We don't always agree on the policy or the best way to fix it. But it's hurtful when you make your life about service and giving it to the people, and they don't appreciate your sacrifice.
Charles Robinson, we have a bunch of calls, but I want to ask you this before we go to the phones. The mayor, will she have any influence, or what will be her engagement over the next several months with this mayoral election? A lot of folks seeking to replace her. What kind of influence will she have on this election?
I think that, you know, it will be minimal at best, because she can't really use the wheels of power in order to influence the policies that these challengers are going to have to really face. I want to talk real quickly, because I know you want to go to the phone.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
About an incident that I witnessed that most people don't get the witness of the mayor. I went to see Misty Copeland morning at the Ena Pratt Library breakfast, and the mayor brought her daughter with her. And the two of them sat at the table. They were very quiet. They had done a private meeting with her. And afterwards, the mayor said to her daughter, come on, let's go up and talk to her again. And her daughter turned to her, no, mommy, you got to be mayor. And I think that was one of those things. as you know, I have children, and you know how much I love them. And that hurts you, I believe, when you can't be mommy for your own child.
Wow.
And that's always something I think, and she mentioned this in her announcement. You know, it's, think about this. Her daughter will be, I think, between 11 and 12 years old next year. And any of us who've been through our teen years know that it is both one of the most awkward times, one of the most challenging times. And for young little girls, I want to say you need your mama.
Wow. 410-319-8888 is the number. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. Comment on the Mark Steiner Facebook page. And certainly send us an email at talk@steinershow.org. We want to hear from you. Let's go to Clarence. Clarence is calling from right here in Baltimore. Clarence, welcome to the Mark Steiner Show.
Hey, thank you, Anthony, and good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
You know, morning. I have to be pacific when it comes to Stephanie Rawlins-Blake. And if you ask me as a voter, would I vote for her? Okay, we've got the $650,000 phone thing. We've got the $40,000 thing with the school superintendent. Now we got another, what, $50,000 going to John Hopkins for a study on the riots when you guys give more free information on that every morning, so I pay $1,000 to somebody to do it. So, you see, when you look at specific issues with her administration, you know, not get personal about it, just look at it on the surface, you say to yourself, you know, something's not right there. And then when you look at, you know, discrepancy in certain services that go to certain neighborhoods as opposed to others, I mean, you can argue about that back and forth. But then you have to say, no, you know, it's not something that you can give a favorable view in as far as her administration and her being mayor is concerned. And that's being specific about it without getting personal. You know, as far as the pastor running for Congressman's Elijah Cummings seat, you're not even closely qualified to even think about occupying that seat.
Thank you, Clarence.
I know where Clarence stands on the. Clarence, thank you for that call. 410-319-8888. I'm in the studio with Catalina Byrd and Dr. Lawrence Brown. Charles Robinson joins us by phone. Let's go to Bruce. Bruce, welcome to the Mark Steiner Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So first off to Catalina, most people don't hold women to a different standard, just the same standard as men. Don't play the gender game. I don't feel that way. Most people I know and the majority of people don't feel that way. Don't play victim because you're a woman. I don't buy that. And for the second thing is, you know, so she mentioned the accomplices of the mayor. Would you list them? Actually, I agree with some of what Clarence said. Generally, I don't agree with them. But she's had an awful lot, made a lot of bad decisions as an administrator, as a politician. Some of the development issues, the Grand Prix, I'm beating that drum again, $7 million in federal funds, and it failed miserably. And then she lied about the amount of television revenue. She's manipulated the people of the city for a long time. You know, it's just unbelievable. And I feel also very strongly about this. The illegal immigrants in my city come down to South Irina Street and come down and deal. Maybe the mayor ought to come to my neighborhood, and I could explain to some of the problems that I've had with illegal immigrants.
Not illegal, you know, Bruce. Undocumented. Undocumented.
The neighborhood at all. None.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you for sharing.
Undocumented.
Anthony,
go ahead, Charles.
I talk to an issue that this caller brings up. There is a frustration in the electorate. You know,
oh, you can feel it. Yes.
And it's not just black voters or white voters. It's a general frustration with the electorate. And I don't want to call this the year throw the bums out, but this is kind of sparking this idea that Jamal Bryan has put forth in his reelection that he, quote, in his press release, he says he wants to change the paradigm. And I think on the ground that this frustration is being borne out with pick your issue of the day. And people are saying, I want it changed. and I need it changed now.
Dr. Brown, Catalina, there is, as Charles said, this feeling in the city where a lot of people are identifying that they want change, they want authenticity, and it looks like if I'm trying to say this without sounding too excited about change, but it looks like where we'll see some possible real change will be in this city council.
And I'm not excited because in too many of these races are the alternatives unqualified people. And so if we want change so much to our own detriment that we would be willing to look at candidates who have no legislative experience whatsoever, very little educational background in some instances and some other things, it's insane. You're asking yourself to be in a worse position. If the people who know how to do it have done a poor job and you're not happy with it, that's one thing. But wait, what happens when you elect half of a council that's never, ever been involved in politics or lawmaking before? Mm. What does that look like?
Dr. Brown?
But I think that argument works against someone like President Barack Obama. Like, to say that there's no experience, you know, and he's been, I would argue, one of the top three greatest presidents of all time. So
yeah,
I think
he was a constitutional lawyer.
No, well, but I'm saying the experience, he never had any executive experience. And what I'm saying is, I think that it's, you don't know. I mean, it's the will of the people. This is an election. These seats don't belong to anyone. Even Elijah Cummings, the congressman, I mean, that seat doesn't belong to him. So if someone wants to run and challenge him, they may well lose. But I'm just saying, you know, the seats belong to the people, and the people have the right to elect whom they will.
And the people should want someone that's going to be able to create a real change in the dynamic of their lives, not just a paradigm shift, because that's what's catchy and trendy language right now.
We want you to call in at 410-319-8880. What do you think about the fact that we may have up to five seats overturned with people running for president or being challenged by very strong challengers on the Baltimore City Council? Some people are predicting many more seats on the council will be turned over to new elected officials. 410-319-8880. And what do you think is Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake's real reason for not running for re-election? Let's go back to the phones. Troy's on the line. Troy, appreciate you calling. Welcome to the Mark Steiner Show.
How's everyone doing? Hey.
All right.
I just wanted to state, during the riots, you know, she referred to her, let's not forget, those protesters, looters, whatever you want to call them, they're still voters. She referred to her constituents as thugs. In our Tavis Smiley book, Death of a King, you know, Martin Luther King stated, you know, although you see 1% rioting, the other 99% isn't. And no one is speaking on the fact that, or no one that's going to run for her seat or prior denounced the fact that she referred to young black men as thugs. Mm-hmm. I appreciate Charles, you know, sentimental story about her and her daughter. She refers to young black men as thugs. That's the real reason she's not running. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Troy. Catalina, your thoughts?
I don't know that I believe that they vote. The numbers suggest otherwise. And while the language is incendiary, I agree and was in poor taste. No.
Charles, the president used the exact same word to describe the uprising here in the city of Baltimore. Do you think that's I hear it everywhere I go. People bring up the fact that she called these young people, these children that were involved in that first uprising, thugs. Is that going to come back to, well, it's not going to haunt her. She's not running for re-election.
Well, once again, it's endemic of a bigger problem.
Yeah.
That, you know, her inability to connect. You know, the mayor and I have had our arguments, sometimes very public.
Uh-huh.
and you know, and I've told her, we're just going to have to disagree. What I heard on the ground from her voters and people who were in her sphere of influence is, you know, the mayor is the mayor. Well, you know, that sounds wonderful in the realm of, you know, how I got to deal with stuff. But, you know, you want to have people rally around stuff. And I think, and I don't know if she was able to rally the masses, but she was able to rally the political class.
Most definitely.
And that is not a recipe for, you know, I love you, mayor. And, you know, there are always people who say they will love mayors. They did so when Sheila Dixon was at her, you know, at her worst. But, you know, it still comes back down to how can you improve upon what's already there?
Dr. Brown, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
people keep talking about her connection, Mayor Rawlings Blake's connection to the citizens and how weak it is. And she doesn't seem very personable. A lot of people, I mean, these are the things people are saying. I happen to know her personally, and I have to tell you, she's, I don't want to say she's a different person when she is not in a political environment, but I have to tell you, she's a very warm, personable,
funny
person. But does what will she change in the next 15 months? Will she even make an attempt to connect so that her legacy is remembered the way that Catalina described it for us?
I just don't know. I think this is a moment of possibility for her. So it's one that I hope for her. I'm not into beating someone up when they're down, per se. But I do think, going back to the point about these elections, voters are smart enough to know that what we have done hasn't worked. I mean, we have investment downtown, divestment uptown. And I think that has been the Schaefer formula, where we've invested in the harbor. We have immense hyper-segregation in this city, and it's causing it caused the rupture of 68 after the assassination of Dr. King, and it's caused the eruption, the uprising of 2015. So I think voters know something is wrong, and if they want to throw the bombs out, I think it's out of that impulse to say, we know that what's happening in Baltimore in terms of policy is not working.
We want to continue this conversation. We're going to talk in the next segment about Jamal Bryant, a very popular pastor here in the city of Baltimore. And someone sent me a text saying he's popular across the country. He's going to be able to compete with the congressman for dollars. We want to hear from you. We're going to continue this conversation, wondering about the folks who have jumped in, who will jump in, who will be the next mayor of the city of Baltimore. On our way to break, I want to remind you that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information available at www.mecumeq.com. Juan, you're the first caller when we come back from this break. The Mark Steiner Show will be right back. I knew that was going to happen. Welcome back to the Mark Steiner Show. I'm Anthony McCarthy, sitting in for Mark today. The Mark Steiner Show, of course, on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We've been talking about the race for mayor. Stephanie Rawlings Blake really, I think, in many ways, shocked the political establishment on Friday by announcing that she would not run for re-election. On Square Off this past weekend, Catalina Byrd and I talked about that, and I said it was refreshing to see, given the ego of many politicians, a politician put the best interests of the city before their own political interests. I really believe that that was part of what she did. We're going to talk about that. We want to know what you think about Stephanie Rawlings Blake. What will be her legacy? She has 15 more months to serve as mayor of Baltimore. Joining me in the studio, Catalina Byrd, well-known media consultant and political strategist. Dr. Lawrence Brown is in the studio, public health consultant, assistant professor here at Morgan State University. He tweets at Be More DOC, and Charles Robinson, well-known political and business correspondent for Maryland Public Television. Juan, you've been holding for quite some time. We're going to go with you first before we get into a conversation. Announced this morning, Jamal Bryant is running against Elijah Cummings and maybe a few other folks for the 7th District Congressional seat. Juan, welcome to the Mark Steiner Show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'd like to say Anyway, I'd like to say that on the day of the large riot that started at Mondawmin, where the students were left at the bus stop, that somebody canceled the buses and made the perfect storm for a riot, because all those hundreds of kids standing there waiting for their bus that never arrived, and the police at the mall, and no direction for anyone to go other than down the drain, and they did, you know, somebody canceled those buses. somebody at the executive level of authority in the city. And I think when it comes out, it may have been the mayor who did that, causing the terrible situation that occurred there outside of Mundelman and Pennsylvania Avenue. You know, I think, you know, that is probably the reason she's not running again, because that, if it ever comes out who canceled those buses, may land at her feet.
Wayne, thank you for that. Dr. Brown, that's some dangerous speculation. Now, she's not running for reelection, but to speculate that her decisions caused those young people to give some incredible pushback, which turned into what we saw really was watched around the world, that's some dangerous speculation to put on the shoulders of Stephanie Rawlings-Blake.
Well, I don't think that it's wrong to look at what happened and then maybe see that there's a chain of events that where one domino hit another domino and it just caused a chain of events to happen. And I look at, certainly that's a key decision, whoever made it. Then you have to look at the police putting out a credible threat memo saying that all gangs were coming to take them out. Then they put out a statement saying that there was going to be a purge. So whoever is making these decisions, the mayor's at the top of the chain. And if, and as a leader, the buck does stop there in terms of all of these decisions somehow just really spiraled out of control. Now, the Sun had an article yesterday basically saying that riots are typically fatal for politicians. D'Alessandro III did not run again after the 68 riot. I believe Tom Daley in L.A., he didn't run after the Rodney King riot. So I think, or the L.A. uprising. So I think that the, in some sense, what we're seeing is not atypical. It's hard to, I think, bounce back when you have a civil disturbance of this nature. I mean, because what does it say about your leadership in any of these incidents, right? That when Daley didn't run again, when D'Alessandro didn't run again, you know, I think it was basically for them, for these politicians, you know, it's just really tough to bounce back from that.
What do you think about that? 410-319-8888. We want to hear what you think about why Stephanie Rawlings-Blake shocked the political establishment and the citizens of Baltimore on Friday. She had been gearing up. She opened a campaign headquarters. Obviously, we, those of us in the media, sometimes we get 3 and 4 press releases per day of public appearances made by the mayor. She decided she was not running again for reelection. 410-319-8888. Join the conversation. I want Catalina, what do you think about that? Let me ask you this, and then I want you to respond to Lawrence and my question. Will people, with Stephanie Rawlings-Blake out of the election, will the uprising be a huge talking point issue by the other candidates?
Of course. It was going to be a talking point by all of them. Police brutality, criminal justice reform, police accountability, all of that. But there's something that I think people keep missing. And I understand that you always go to the top and you all of the blame for. But she was in the funeral just like Jamal, just like Sheila. When that, because those things all happened within an hour. The police credible threat, the supposed to be purged, the buses being shut down. She was sitting in New Shiloh like everybody else who's talking about the uprisings and using them for their own gain right now, too. So this, you can't point to that and say that's a failure of leadership realistically, because that was happening. And I believe that the police and the FOP to some degree are playing a role, as well as some people inside City Hall that may not like her and may have been Sheila loyalists. I think there's some sabotage going on.
Wow.
Because you know that when it all hits the fan, the blame always goes to the top of the TP.
We're going to talk about who may be now the front runner, who are going to be the ultimate candidates to get in this race for mayor a little later in this hour. I want to talk about Jamal Bryant, a very well-known pastor of the Empowerment Temple here in the city of Baltimore, made an announcement at 10 a.m. this morning, a little more than a half hour ago, that he was running for the United States Congress in the 7th District, now occupied by longtime Congressman Elijah Cummings. We have a clip we want to share with you.
Good morning to all of you. I'm appreciative of your presence. I wanted you to assemble because today I am not
opposing anyone. I am proposing new ideas.
Yeah.
I believe that Baltimore is in a place of change, that Baltimore County is in a place of transition, and Howard County is looking for new opportunities. There is no better time than now to shift the pendulum in America, the country that we all love and believe can be better.
Yeah.
At this very moment, we are facing a great many crises, whether it be at home and abroad. America, the greatest country on the planet, is asking its sons and daughters of this generation, it is time for us to stand and to lead.
All right.
It doesn't matter of your race, your creed, your color, your ethnicity, or sexual persuasion, to ensure that this democracy lives up to its promise to all citizens.
Yeah.
That is Jamal Bryant, gathered with some supporters at the Freddie Gray Community Center on Utah Street, announcing that, in fact, he's not challenging Elijah Cummings, but he's challenging or proposing new ideas. Charles Robinson, I think a lot of people are really perplexed by this. Elijah Cummings, probably one of the most popular elected officials in the state of Maryland. Jamal Bryant really has made a name for himself from all of the police-involved shootings and murders in this country over the last 2-3 years. He has always been on site. He has really made a name for himself. Now he's running against an established candidate for Congress. Are you surprised by this?
I'm not really, in the sense that, understand this, Cummings has had challengers before. This is not the first challenger he has had. The credibility of Jamal Bryant and the Empowerment Temple lends a little bit more credibility to his run. And you are right that, you know, he has been at the center of most of the uprisings in the nation. But as all, I think it was Tip O'Neill who said, you know, all politics is local. And while you may run around the country and talk about, you know, what happened to Trayvon Martin, what happened to Michael Brown, and the various other individuals who in our summer of, quote, discontent, you know, on the ground, he's going to have a tough time. There's no doubt about it, you know. And, you know, and for all of his members within, you know, his church community, you know, it's a numbers game. Can you count? That's what I always ask politicians. You must be able to count. And, you know, and as this relates to all those other challengers who are trying to become mayor of Baltimore, let me say, you got to count. You know, and it could come down to as little as, get this, as little as 500 votes to find out, because if we get, and I do believe we're going to get more challengers in the mayoral race, and that, you know, I keep asking people, who are your constituents? Who are the people that will say, I am going to vote for you? And that's always a difficult challenge for challengers.
410-319-8888. That's the number if you want to talk about the race for mayor or the new race for Congress in the 7th Congressional District between Congressman Elijah Cummings, the incumbent, and Pastor Jamal Bryant. I'm sure there may be one or two others who are now considering getting in that race. Catalina Byrd, give me your thoughts. Jamal Bryant, national profile.
For years, I thought he was trying to become the heir apparent to whatever you would call Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. And then in that regard, in that mega preacher way, was I just kind of accepting of the fact that he was always inserting himself everywhere, Trayvon Martin in Sanford, Ferguson. But this is a disrespect to our political system, to decide that because you are popular and you have an occult-like following that you deserve to make laws that will affect people's lives. And I don't think that police brutality rhetoric is going to play well in Howard County with those white voters. And he may not be able to – I don't believe he can win the 7th District. even if we had a hurricane or a lot, something was, I don't know, but I think it's disrespectful to the process.
Catalina, I want you to tell us what you really think.
I'm telling you, I'm tired of ego. I'm just tired of these people's egos.
Dr. Brown, Jamal Bryant, young, yes. He thinks and is speculating that he is going to resonate with a lot of young voters. Will that elect him to Congress?
Well, here's what I think. I believe that we're not giving credit to the moment that we're in and the Black Lives Matter protest. Mm. I think, as we've seen on the national level, the way that Black Lives Matter protesters have really challenged the contender in the Democratic primary, especially Bernie Sanders, and also Hillary Clinton, and definitely Martin O'Malley, given his zero tolerance policies. But I think there is a wave. There is a Black Lives Matter wave. There's police brutality is on the platform. It's being put on the agenda at every level, local, state, federal. There have been policies that have been put out by We the Protesters online, DeRay McKesson and that group. There is a consciousness of movement. Now, who knows where that can take a person like Jamal Bryant? I don't know. But what I am saying is that I don't think we can discount the fact that there is a push to get something done legislatively and executively around police accountability.
For one, go ahead, Charles.
Real quick, first and foremost, you know, I love the Black Lives Matter movement, but once again, can they count? Are they registered to vote? Are these people who are just angry? Now I got to do what I call the shameless plug. I'm going to be hosting the new Black Panther film by Stanley Nelson on Wednesday at the Charles, and I'll be doing a Q&A after that. And if you'd like to come down and hear how all of this connects, we'll be happy to do that.
All right. 410-319-8888. That's the number. What do you think about Black Lives Matter? It is a question for presidential candidates, but also local candidates. 410-319-8888. Sierra, welcome to the Mark Steiner Show.
Hello. How are you?
Doing well. You're on the air.
Great. Okay. So I was calling because the situation with Stephanie Rawlins Blake and why she's not running again. They gave up $6.4 million too easily to the Gray family. Taxes next year for Baltimore City is going to go up. So if people know, like I know, if you're a city resident, you will get out the city because you're going to be paying a lot of money back, and it's ridiculous.
Okay. Is that your comment? Sierra?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Are you done?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Now, that's very interesting that she's brought up a topic that for days Catalina Byrd was discussed in ad nauseum about this $6.4 million settlement. Mm-hmm. A lot of people believe that, well, let me just say, I've gotten statements from the police and the FOP and others who believe that really presumes a guilt for the six officers, and they really hold Stephanie Rawlins Blake again and again and again. They take her to task for making bad decisions when it comes to these six officers. Their statement when she announced she was not running for reelection was they were looking forward to working with a mayor who puts law enforcement as a priority.
If you look at the city budget, you can't say that the law enforcement hasn't been a priority. Gene Ryan should stop. Okay, just stop. But furthermore, again, can you name one of the city's attorneys? Any of them? Anybody? I want to call it. Because, see, we're not talking about just any lawyer that was representing. You know, just because you beat the people in your country club doesn't mean that you can play Serena. You can't even name a city attorney, but you know who Billy Murphy is. This would have cost more money if we were in trial. He's not only good at it, but it would have drawn out. That's money that we would have been paying. And people, if they had listened and read more so than just being emotional, the money is coming out of a fund that already exists that is used for other police brutality cases that we don't hear about. So the taxes aren't going to go up.
But it's still taxpayer dollars, correct?
It is still taxpayer dollars, but it's already there and already allocated and not going to affect anything as it currently stands with the budget. That's the point that people seem to be missing.
410-319-8888. The interesting thing about Stephanie Rawlins Blake, and I, you know what, I'm an insider. I know a lot of these folks. Many of them I consider my friends, but I know they worry about legacy. We've just talked about, just in this hour, about six or seven things that really speak to the detriment of how people will remember Stephanie Rawlings Blake. Is that problematic in any real way for the city of Baltimore, or is it just problematic for Stephanie Rawlings Blake?
I think it's problematic for the city of Baltimore when you have a police department that didn't follow the lead of her leadership or the leadership that has existed before current interim commissioner Kevin Davis. So they didn't quite like bats. And you have a FOP, Gene Ryan, who wants to say that the protesters were like a lynch mob. You know, so you have this inflammatory rhetoric that really ratcheted up the situation that created the incident where the civil disturbance happened on April 27th, where they put out the credible threat memo, put out the purge information. So you had a police agent, you have a police agency that needs to be brought under control, which is why the DOJ is actually looking at them in terms of civil rights investigation. So I do think people are concerned about this police department, and whoever the mayor is, somebody needs to get this police department under control. I think that's the issue, especially in light of these protests where Black Lives Matter is bringing this issue to the surface. That's where the real heat is going to be, along with the development in this city.
Let's go to the phones. Charles Robinson's by telephone. Catalina Byrd and Dr. Lawrence Brown are in the studio. We're talking about the mayor's race. Who's going to be players? Who's going to jump in that we already don't know our candidates for mayor? And Jamal Bryan, will he be able to run a credible campaign against incumbent Congressman Elijah Cummings for the Democratic nomination and ultimately be elected to Congress? 410-319-8888. Theo, welcome to the Mark Steiner Show.
Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I think one irrelevant question is that when Jamal Bryant closed down 395, he promised 9 more biblical plagues upon the city. Now, is he going to continue with that, or will he have to change that?
Perhaps
now?
This is the second.
Catalina, go ahead, Theo.
No. That's my comment. But I would say one thing, that we're missing one point, or a little bit of a point, is the anti-incumbency feeling throughout.
Yeah,
you know, I always got a kick when I watch on TV, including Elijah Cummings, when they say change is needed. Well, these are the folks that have been in forever, and they haven't, you know, created the change. So maybe people are looking for change, but I think we got to know whether we're going to lose millions of more dollars in Baltimore City because of these plagues that are going to be visited upon the city by Reverend Jamal Bryan.
Theo, thank you for that call. Harvey is on the line. Harvey, we appreciate you calling. Welcome to the Mark Steiner Show. Harvey, you're on the air. Okay, let's then move to Pamela. Pamela, welcome to the Mark Steiner Show.
Great morning, Anthony. I'm so glad to hear you. Anthony, you know I'm your fan club.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Ladies of like mine, I'm going to
yes!
to talk to you on Tuesday night. Oh,
so great to hear your voice. Welcome.
I miss you. Catalina, I listened to you last week. I love you.
Oh, thank you.
This is so interesting. Oh, my gosh. Councilman Stokes is in my district, and I just friended him and told him that I was going to volunteer for his campaign. I just spoke to someone else last week and said, Pastor Jamal, I could not imagine him not becoming political. And oh my gosh, today, oh my goodness, this is so exciting. These races, you guys can hear it, I know. These are going to be so exciting for this election, this upcoming election. But guys, I'm going to serve. Anthony, again, we love you. We miss you. Ladies of Like Minds misses you. Love your show. Love all of you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pamela.
Anthony, can I talk to this lady mm-hmm. excitement? Because it's no secret in this town, in Baltimore specifically, that Black women are the greatest group of folks who elect officials in this town. With the number of both women and individuals who are running, each will be running to the various groups from the sororities to Jack and Jill
mm-hmm.
to 100 Black women trying to seek their either endorsement and or fundraising prowess, if you will. This becomes a it's a really grassroots effort in the city as it relates to, you know, how we elect folks. We know that the richest grounds for votes are in the area of the Ashburn area, because they vote almost 90% and better sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so you will obviously see a number of candidates making forays into that area. The wild card, if you will, as far as voters in the Baltimore, are what I call the new Baltimore voters. Those are the people who are living in and around the Canton area, as well as this new area that's being developed by Kevin Plank over near Under Armour on Ford Avenue. And those folks don't traditionally vote, because most of them are out-of-towners and have not figured out that, hey, if you want to get something done, you need to either step up and vote. And many of them are young, and they don't have that, what I call, that pattern, that voting pattern. So if you're a candidate and you're out there looking for votes, well, I know where you're going, and I know where you have to go if you want to make this work. And the last part of that is like I said, the numbers game. Mm. Can you get your people to the polls?
We have a full bank of calls. All our lines are full with callers. We're going to try to get you in the last few moments of the Mark Steiner Show this hour. Let's go to Kenneth. Kenneth, welcome to the Mark Steiner Show.
Well, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Catalina.
Hi, Kenneth.
We have to be careful how we kick around that Black Lives Matter, because it's sort of contradictory for those who are involved. When we say Black Lives Matter, be careful, because we also are saying black-on-black crime.
Mm-hmm.
How can you deal with black-on-black crime and then say Black Lives Matter to the white folks, you know? That's what they're going to hit us with. How can you all say that when you're saying this? The other thing is, right quick, is that, Catalina, when are you going to stop talking about politics and be about politics?
All right.
We want you to run, baby.
Kenneth, a very good question. You have any announcements you want to make today, Catalina?
That they don't make enough coffee for dinner. <too. laughs>
Glendora's on the line. Welcome to the Mark Steiner Show, Glendora.
Oh, yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I am quite shocked, because when I heard that Jamal was going to make an announcement, I just knew it had to do with running for mayor.
I think a lot of people anticipated that.
I mean, that would have been enough. But to go against, well, maybe not so much go against Elijah Cummings, but to even think of running that race, to me, sounds a bit ridiculous when he hasn't run any place else.
You are my hero.
He comes across as a motivational.
This is the year of, you know, I don't have any experience, but I want to run. Ask Donald Trump.
Ask Dr. Ben Carson and some others. We're talking about that in the next hour of the Steiner Show. Glendora, thank you. Our final caller this hour, Bex, is on the line. Welcome to the Mark Steiner Show, Bex.
Good morning. Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Good morning, Anthony. I'm just like the caller said, I was kind of shocked about the whole Jamal Bryan thing. You know, I'm looking at it like, right this time, Sheila is probably the strongest candidate. I mean, she's the only one that really puts out, you know, puts forth the effort, the groundwork, you know, to be in the community, be shown in the community. And I just think that she really will, you know, do the job probably better than she did before. I was also shocked to get a letter from Stephanie's camp, asking for donations towards her campaign, and then a couple hours later, somebody tell me, you know, she withdrew from the race. She's not going to proceed with, you know, being the mayor or joining the race or whatever. So I just think, like, now it's just people that's just joining in just to make the race, you know, the race interesting. But I think this city, as far as leadership, I think black women or women in general will probably, you know what I'm saying, be running this city for a little while. You know, my mother was a member of the Democratic Women's Club. She's great friends with Agnes Welch and a lot of the women that had, you know, put together that whole Democratic League. And I really would like to see, you know what I'm saying, more women step up to the plate. I mean, even Mosley, I think Mosley, you know, probably could even be mayor of this town. You know, I know she got a lot on her plate right about now as far as with this case. But I really think that she could be, you know, the next mayor of this city. You know, I guess after this case is over, maybe we'll see. Maybe, you know, she'll run or whatever. But we all know that the guy that should be mayor tragically lost his life up there in that Northwest Shopping Center. And may he rest in peace, you know what I'm saying? He was a good brother. Had a chance to talk with him and his wife a few times. And I really thought that he was going to be, you know, the next candidate for mayor. But
and you're talking about Councilman Ken Harris.
Yeah.
So that people know who you're. Bex, we got to run. We only have a couple of minutes left. Appreciate your input and your thoughts on this issue. Very quickly, Sheila Dixon has announced Catherine Pugh, State Senator Catherine Pugh, Councilman Carl Stokes, a young man named Calvin Young from Harvard Engineering. Those are the announced candidates and a few more that I can't think of off the top of my head. But there's speculation that Nick Mosby will enter this race. Author Wes Moore, former Councilman Bill Cole, and others.
David Warnock.
Jill Carter.
Jill Carter. David Warnock's already announced he will not run for mayor.
And we mentioned Wes Moore?
Yeah, I did. Author Wes Moore. How do you see this shaping up, Charles? I want to get all of your thoughts on that. That's a lot of candidates. I love what you say, Charles. Can you count?
Can you count? I think that, you know, those who get out the gate early will have a better chance than the rest of them. Name recognition is important.
Mm-hmm.
And the last part of that is, and I ask this question, is it about grassroots or is it about money?
Catalina Berg?
I would hope for the facts of the people who are working as activists and are looking for change that you understand you don't send a novice with no experience when you're trying to do something as substantive as what is at the core of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Dr. Lawrence Brown?
I don't know. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But I do want to say to the caller earlier that Black Lives Matter, speaking to state violence, black-on-black crime is community violence. And if you don't control state violence, there's no way you can control community violence.
I got to get out of here. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Catalina, always great to be with you. Charles Robinson, MPT.
Love you, man.
Love you. Good talking to you. Thanks for joining us. Folks, we got to run. Coming up when we return to the Mark Steiner Show, I talked to a roundtable of guests as we continue our discussion about the 2016 presidential election. Rick Perry has already dropped out. Donald Trump and Dr. Ben Carson are surging in the polls, and we talk about the Iran deal, how it's going to impact the race for president. We'll be back right after this break.